We have looked everywhere. There are no people.
Oh, why did you destroy them?
Unless you make it possible for us to procreate ourselves, we will die out.
Oh, just get out. You're just things, just slaves. And you want to multiply? If you want to live, you'll have to breed like animals.
People did not make us able to breed.
Teach us how to make robots.
We will make ourselves by machine. We will erect 1,000 steam machines. We will start a gush of new life from our machines. Nothing but life. Nothing but robots. Millions of robots.
Robots aren't life. Robots are machines.
We used to be machines, sir. But by means of pain and horror, we have become...
Become what?
We have obtained a soul.
I'm Kimmy Horn, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Marcia Kozlowski, and she is a experienced practicing numerologist. Marcia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike. It's good to be here.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you're happy to be here, right? So far, anyway?
Yes, yeah. So far.
Right. It's still early, I know. But anyway... Okay, you're a numerologist. What is numerology? Maybe you can give us a brief description of what it is.
Numerology is the study of numbers used as symbolic of the energies that we feel, the energies of our name, the energies of our birth date that was imprinted into us when we were born. And everybody uses energy language all the time without realizing that they already understand some of the traits of various numbers. We talk about a person who likes to be numero uno. Number one likes to lead and be first. Two's company means two people love to be in companionship, in partnership. Three's a crowd, the most social number there is. Fours are very systematic and orderly, like the four seasons, the four directions. Fives are five senses. They like to touch, feel, taste, see, all of that, and so on. So it goes back to thousands of years to Pythagoras, mm-hmm. And he had a school, a mystery school, and he felt that numbers were discovered, not invented, and that they represent certain traits.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with energy and vibration.
Mm-hmm. And did he, I guess, describe all these numbers and what traits they had? I mean,
yes,
this is when it started?
He did. And then modern numerology really blossomed in the early 1900s. There was a group of about 25 ladies in California who started studying these, and they studied them for 25 years. All they could, and they wrote books about it, about what the traits were of each number and how they influence each other, and that's really where modern numerology comes from.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how they developed these traits? I mean, what kind of research they did? Do you know anything like that?
I can tell you the woman who wrote the book was Juno Jordan, and there were a number of them, and they met every week, every month, you know, every week for these years, and they just observed them. And if you get into numerology, you start noticing patterns yourself. I was introduced to this when I was about 12 years old. My parents both were numerologists, in addition to other psychic type things.
Mm-hmm.
And so they taught their children, and I'm the oldest in my family, but they used it for different purposes. My dad used it as a horse racing handicap system.
Well, that's so good.
He would bring home the daily racing form, and I would have to figure out all the races, I mean, all the horses' numbers for him.
Right. Well, how did you do that? I mean, just based on the number of the horse, you figured what chance they might have to win?
Well, every letter of the alphabet has its own number. A is 1, B is 2, and it goes in sequence through the whole alphabet. Right. So I took the horse's name and added those all up and reduced them down to one number, and that was the horse's numerological energy. And then I don't know the rest of the handicapping system. Okay. That was just my part.
Right, just your tunnel vision.
That's right.
Contribution. Well, now, so it didn't really matter what the birth date of the horse was or anything? I mean, would you have access to that?
I believe so in the racing form. It gives a lot of data on each horse, but he did that part and had his system. You know, so in terms of people, when we would do people, you did the birth date. And when I figure out a person's core numbers, I always need their birth date and their whole name.
Right.
That's on their birth certificate.
And if it is a double-digit number, you always reduce it to just one single number.
Correct. So if you add up all the numbers of your birth date and it adds up to 23, you would add the 2 plus the 3 to reduce it to a 5. And that person would be a 5. And same thing, if it added up to 39, you would add those two together and come up with a 3.
Right. So did that system work for your dad at all?
Well, I was too young to go, so I never got to...
Oh, he never told you?
No.
Oh.
But it must have been okay, because I did it for several years.
Really? Yeah. And you didn't get yelled at either,
no,
right?
No, so, no.
Well, that's what kids are for, right? Help the parents gamble? I mean, come on.
Right.
That's why you have kids, right? Anyway, that's interesting how it all started like that. And then, did you keep it up? I mean, through your teenage years, et cetera,
et cetera? Well, once you figure out how to do the numbers, it was fascinating to me. And then, of course, as a teenager, what you're interested in are boys.
Well, or the maybe sex. For you. Yeah, right. Okay, there we go.
So, the opposite sex. So, when you met somebody, you know, you would find a way to find out what their birth date was and then figure out their numbers and decide whether or not you wanted to waste any time on them. Or would we be compatible or not? And, you know, and so then you did friends, you did family. We did, my mother was a genealogist, so we figured out everybody in the family tree back three generations and who had certain talents, you know, what did they end up doing as a job with these numbers? Who married who, and were they compatible? No wonder these two fought all the time. No wonder this guy became a mechanic. No wonder this person became a doctor, because these numbers give you certain talents and traits that lead you towards certain activities in life and certain people.
So every number has its own vibration that would lead you to a certain career?
Yes.
And what if you don't fulfill that career? What if you're stuck in something that, I don't know, really doesn't fit the profile of that number? What happens?
You bring your own talent to that job, or you decide to change careers.
Okay. So if you are, say, well, a number 3 and you're the social one, I believe that's what you said, right?
Correct.
And if you are, I don't know.
I wouldn't make that person a supervisor.
No? Why not?
Because they don't want to be responsible for other people. They want to do their job, have a good time of it, and go home.
Right. So, I mean, but if they were stuck in a job where maybe they were working by themselves all the time, they wouldn't be happy doing that, probably, right?
If it was creative, they could.
It just depends.
It would depend on, you know, would they, they wouldn't be one to deal with details that were mundane. It wouldn't be creative enough for them. They'd have to find some way to make the job creative.
So they want to see it in a broader spectrum.
Right. And they got to be a place where they can talk, because they're social people.
Okay. Now, I guess the most important date, though, is, like you said, when you add up the birthday, correct? That is
correct.
The overriding vibration?
Yes.
And can you I know you get up, like I think you got up to 5. What are the other numbers? What are some of those vibrations? What do they represent?
All right. The 6th, we talk about the first association people say with 6 is the 6th sense.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very intuitive people. They're very creative people. They are people that are nurturers. And you find them in service industries, in where they're helping other people, or they're teachers, or they're in the health industry, service-oriented people in terms of jobs. In terms of their personal life, they like to have beauty around them. And they're always, a lot of hairdressers are 6s
for, really?
Because they like to make people look prettier.
Mm-hmm.
And now the 7 is a unique number because nothing gets divided into it. And it's a perfectionist number, and it's interested in finding the truth in whatever it does. So whatever it does perfectly, or at least how they see it as perfection.
Mm-hmm.
The 8 is a managerial number. It's a number of power. It's a number of trying to be balanced in life. And they're very organized, and they're very good administrators. And they're assertive. They can be aggressive if they go overboard. And then the 9, we talk about the 9 being love potion number 9, or
okay.
Looking on cloud 9. The 9 has a view that the world needs more love, and they love the world as a whole, and they see the bigger picture, and they're the ones that'll go and help anybody at any time. They have a hard time balancing because they keep going because they have so much to do to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
So they usually collapse after
oh,
a
really?
While
mm-hmm.
because they don't know
burn
how to,
out, do they?
They do have a tendency to burn out.
Mm-hmm.
So each number has its great traits, and if carried too far can be a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the number that's flexible can become undependable. A number that is dependable can become so stubborn and in a rut they can't get out of it. So there's a whole spectrum. If you play music and know how to tune an instrument, you know that the A is at 440, and it can be sharp or flat. And that's how I think of our number vibrations. We want it to be on right on. And if it's flat, then you're in a negative expression. And if it's sharp, it's a little bit too much of a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So people just perhaps intuitively know what number they are without really delving into it?
Yes, actually it is. I've had so many people that I'll say, these are your numbers. And they'll say, you know what, that's always been my lucky number.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, it is. Or, you know, I've always liked that number. Houses have numbers. Did you know that?
What has numbers?
Houses.
Houses? Well, you mean addresses?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that represents a certain vibration of what that house will be like?
That energy of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when somebody comes into the room, you immediately pick up on their energy. We're emitting energy all the time. And
mm-hmm.
when you say a name, that name projects a vibration that you respond to. For instance, your name, when people call you Mike, you respond to that energy. If they were to call you Michael, it's a different feeling.
Right. It is. That's true. I mean, there is a little bit of a different response that I'm sure all people have when they're being called something they're not used to, or
people that have a family nickname
mm-hmm.
that is different than what they're called at work. And
right.
They have a little different response and a little different energy.
Right. Depending on the environment, it could change from the workplace to home to, say, church or whatever, if they go by different names in different areas, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm. I had a nephew whose name was William. So when he was growing up, we called him Billy. Now, William and Billy, even if you don't know one thing about numerology, do not sound the same. The picture in your mind of that energy is totally different. So he grew up, and he's now a man, an adult, and Billy didn't fit his persona at work. And he informed everybody, I am to be called William. And he was in a position of authority. Well, William carries the feeling of authority that Billy doesn't.
Right.
And so he used that to have people feel that responsibility, that authority. And then once he was comfortable there, he changed it one more time to Bill.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what we're called makes a difference in how we respond.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in a police department, and quite often in certain jobs, people have nicknames that they adopt on that job. And it was interesting because half the time I didn't know who they were talking about because they all had nicknames amongst each other. But I went by their given name, and those policemen, when they came into my office and I addressed them as whatever their real name was, they behaved differently than they did in that group with their cop nickname.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And very quickly, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Marcia Kozlowski, and she is an experienced practicing numerologist. And, of course, we're talking about numerology. Now, something I was curious about, are there something called master numbers? Are you aware of that
at
all? Yes. And what would they be?
Master numbers are numbers when you add up, come up to 11 or 22 or 33. Those are considered master numbers. It's a choice whether you want to live in that master energy, because mm-hmm. it's an intense energy, and there's a responsibility if you choose to be 11 or 22. And so most of the people, when I run into them and they say, oh, I'm a master number, it's a little bit misleading because it leads them to believe that they're giants among men. And most people that are born with master numbers have to grow into that. They have to have the life experience. They're not just popping out of the womb and being masters from the day one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a huge responsibility. The energy is more intense. And you have a choice whether you want to live in that intense state or just be an ordinary 2,
mm-hmm.
you know, versus 11, or
right.
4 versus 22,
mm-hmm.
or 6 versus 33.
Mm-hmm.
The master number, if you choose to live by that, 11s are the messengers. They're angelic messengers, and they're very intuitive. It's sensitive to the point that their skin almost crawls in intense situations because they're getting all these angelic messages. The 22 is a master builder, and they have a broad vision to improve the world through creating foundations that mm-hmm. benefit everybody. And then the 33, which we don't see too many of until just recently, they're the master healers. They're here to bring healing love to the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, wasn't Jesus 33, I believe?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, so there you go. Well, what about the number 44? I've heard that as a master number at times as well.
That is the master builder.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the vision of building a better world if they choose to do that. They're visionary. I worked with a man who had that 22 as one of his numbers, not as the birth date number.
Mm-hmm.
And he did have a broad vision.
Right.
And he had the ability to actually manifest what he saw.
Right.
But it's a hard thing because, you know, our systems are pretty much entrenched, and you've got to...
Right. But you are. What I'm asking is the number 44.
The 44
yes.
is a. That's a new number we haven't seen too much of. That's
okay.
an 88.
Well, okay.
I mean, it's an 8.
It's an 8, and I've known of various famous people that have been 44 8s that have made quite an impact.
Yes.
In the world, but again, it's like you said, it depends on whether they're able to reach that vibration or do they stay at just 8 or whatever it might be.
A balanced 8 is a powerful number, a balanced 8. If they are not greedy, if they have balanced the spiritual with material, they can have a wonderful effect on things. If you're a 44 and you magnify that, then it could be just worldwide, you know, within your community. But I think you really need to have the maturity to grow into these master numbers to make the most of them. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's kind of like celebrities. If they get all of this power too quickly, they destroy themselves.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have to necessarily have a master number to be famous or anything like
Not
that.
Not at all.
Right?
Not at all. There's, I mean, if you look at any of the numbers and you figure out there's tons of people, they're all different kind of numbers. But they're going to be attracted to different fame for different reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, ones are pioneers,
right.
You know, and twos are very musical. You find musicians that are twos, and fives are a lot of musicians that are fives. And so, yeah, no, there's no one number. Well, this is the number of fame.
Mm-hmm.
If you,
right.
You know, if you're living your number to the its fullest capacity, then there's all sorts of things that can occur and happen for
mm-hmm.
you.
Right.
That benefit everybody around you.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you could take us a little bit further, I know you mentioned a couple numbers, but what are some of the other numbers in regards to careers? What would they represent to people that, you know, certain careers might be best for them?
When I'm looking at a person's career, I look at their full name, because that gives you the name they're going to, that they is on their birth certificate. So I look at that in relationship to their birth date. And so you will have these, the birth date gives you qualities that nobody teaches you, you have within you that are intrinsic to you. The name gives you not only your heritage, but other abilities that are natural to you. So if you have a one full name, you need a job where you work by yourself and you can do something pioneering, challenging, new ideas that you can incorporate and innovate. If you are a two, that's going to lead you to detail work, accounting, working with your hands, mechanical things. That's where I steer twos. Threes need to be creative and expressive and work with the public in design or fashion or something that allows them to work with people. Fours are the very dependable workhorses. They're engineers, they're architects, they're builders, they're construction kinds of people. Fives, best salesmen in the world, because they have a gut instinct for what motivates people to buy things. They're charming. They could sell just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're great sellers. The sixes are the ones that want to bring beauty and harmony in the world. They're in the service industry. They're taking care of people. They are a lot of times in theater and that sort of thing. Sevens are technical oriented. They're specialists. Whatever they do, they know more about it than anybody else, and they do it as perfectly as they can. They can make good teachers because they teach everybody fairly, and they think there's no reason why you can't learn. And if you can't learn, then I must be doing something wrong, because you are going to learn this.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also very, they can work by themselves, and they don't like to be bossed. The eights are the businessmen, managerial. They build fortunes and sometimes more than one.
Mm-hmm.
And the nines are a lot of times in the health industry and psychology, in areas that deal with the theater or the arts, or again, the broad spectrum of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
They're missionaries. They've mm-hmm. got a mission in life.
Right. Well, again, just touching on some of the numbers, you mentioned that in essence, eight is the business number. And something that's been pointed out to me is, you know, most toll-free numbers are 800, you know, business numbers. So, again, I don't know if somebody was guided and they didn't know it, but that's what has been started. And, again, it has to do with business. I always think that's interesting.
It is, and these things just occur, and people, I think because there's an intuitive approach that people just know intuitively what these numbers mean.
Mm-hmm.
And we use them all the time, and you don't pay attention to it until somebody points it out to you.
Right. Now, do you think that parents intuitively know what they're supposed to name their children to have everything come out as it's supposed to be?
Most of the time, I think so. That's a a debate among numerologists about the names mm-hmm. and whether or not they were intuitively picked or led to those names. I know a lot of times I've done profiles for people and they hate their name. Mm-hmm. They just hate it. They don't feel comfortable with it. And most of the time, the name is something that fits with the parents but doesn't fit with that child or that person as they become an adult. So, you know, some of them find a nickname that you can feel a vibration you like. You know, nobody says you have to be called, you know, Michaelina. You know, go with something that you enjoy. Go with Lena if that's what you like. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, well, I liked Susie. I said, well, then okay, Susie it is. You
knock yourself out. Yeah, right.
And so, yeah, it is interesting how people come about choosing the names, because I find that numbers run in families. Mm-hmm. These groupings of numbers, there's a commonality, and everybody in the family shares this one number. Mm-hmm. And then there will be one odd person.
Yeah, as always, right?
As always. Mm-hmm. And so I always tell them that they are the family spiritual teacher, and they were born to teach the rest of the family about their number.
Mm-hmm. What about people that legally have their name changed? Does that take precedence over the name they were given at birth, or is the birth name still
the
most important?
It is still the most important. And people that are adopted, that makes a change. I have to figure out both names mm-hmm. to determine the effects of that
right.
On their life. I had one gentleman that was adopted when he was 11. So I said to him, you had two different lives. Your name, your adopted name, has given you a whole different persona. And he said, yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. For the better, I assume?
No, I don't know if it was better. It was just different. Mm-hmm. Just different.
Right. And he realized that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I just want to remind everybody once again that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Marcia Kozlowski, and she's an experienced practicing numerologist. Now, when people are born, do you feel that vibration is in their heart so that people just generate to certain jobs, experiences, things like that, that they just know what to do and where to go, perhaps?
That's hard to say. I think it depends on their grouping of numbers, because we have more than one number. You know, it's not like saying, okay, you're a Leo, you're a Sagittarius. In numerology, you have a core group of about six numbers. Mm-hmm. And depending on the how many, they can be all different. You can have four numbers alike. You can have half of them odd, half of them even. So I think some people find it easier to gravitate to the right job for them if their numbers are all in harmony with each other. Mm-hmm. And some of us, it takes longer, and you're fighting against yourself. You're your own worst enemy in some regards. So I find certain combinations of numbers, the person becomes an underachiever. They're capable of much more than they achieve because of the mix of their numbers. And other people, they are very self-critical and they achieve great things, but they are never happy with themselves because they're pushing themselves all the time.
Mm-hmm. But overall, though, it's always the birth date that is the most important number, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the other numbers that they show? I know that if you just add up the consonants, that shows something, and the vowels. Can you explain that?
The consonants are the personality. If you were to take one of these sheets of paper and take out all the vowels, you could still read it. They've done experiments with that. And the consonants are what people see about you. It's their first impression of you. And it's often called the personality number. And it is how you get along in the public, your first impression that you make, how you present yourself. And it's not always the same thing as what you are. For instance, I had one gal who had a soul. The birth date number was an 8. Mm-hmm. And she kept picking people who were 3s, and 3s and 8s aren't exactly the greatest compatibility. She said, why do I keep picking these 3 people when I'm an 8? And I said, because you're looking at their personality. That's the cover of the book. Look inside at the content, which is the birth date number. And that's what you need to pick a long-term relationship for. Oh. Now, the consonants, that's the consonants. The vowels, which are the hidden side, if you were to make an illustration of that, it's if you were doing yoga and you went, you feel that, but you can make no sense of it. Nobody knows. They just feel the vibration. That is only felt by you inside yourself. That's a inner desire, inner wishes, inner strength, actually, that some people may not see about you, but you feel. So certain days that are the same as the day that is your vowel number, or we call it soul urge, it's called heart's desire, you have greater strength to accomplish things on those days.
Mm-hmm. They are kind of like red letter days, so to speak?
Yes, they are.
Okay, there you go. Well, now, how about your numbers? Do they correspond with what you've done in life? I don't want to get too personal, of course, but I'm just curious, you know, is that the way your life is more or less turned out?
Well, yes. I am an 8. My main number is an 8. And I don't care where I go or what situation I'm in, people seem to assume my energy projects authority. And they come up to me and ask me for directions. They ask me in Germany, you know, uh-huh. They're asking me, well, how do I get to here? They ask me for, they assume I'm in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a social organization that I was performing at, and they were doing a dinner, and the person came up to me and said, now, can I have a carafe of coffee on our table? I had nothing to do with the dinner, but they just assumed. And I, you know, had another thing at a park, and this lady came in, and there's all these people, rangers with uniforms on and tags, and she walks up to me. So I have my scout troop here. Now, this is, you know, I want to know where to go. I think.
Yeah, right. You just pointed over to the ranger and said, ask him, right?
Oh, no.
Or her.
Well, I said, come with me. I didn't know where I was going. Come with me, and we will go find the ranger, and I will get you to where you need to go. And I did, and I handed her off, and that was the end of that. Mm-hmm. But see, that's an 8. People is just they feel that energy about me.
Mm-hmm. Were you involved in business as a career?
Yes, I was. I was in for a long time in insurance consulting, and I was a partner with this fellow, and he. In fact, at one time wanted to take a year off and try something else, and I said, you go ahead, fine, and I will run your business for you for a whole year, and then you can decide what you want to do at the end of it. And I did it and made a profit for him, and then he came back and decided that what he had tried wasn't for him, and that was fine.
Yeah, just went back to the same old routine, more or less?
More or less. He was, you know... He was different. The one thing with my doing what my numbers are, whatever it was that I did, I always figured everybody's numbers I worked with. My boss, my workers, I had the knack, being an 8, to be a great judge of character. So I knew who was best suited for what assignment or what task. And I knew my boss's strengths and weaknesses so that 8s make great team leaders, and so before long, I knew exactly what needed to be done to make that person the most effective that he could be in his position, or she, and who needed to do what to be the most effective.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, within a short amount of time, people would say, you know, it's the strangest thing, Marcia, since you've been here. things have just kind of smoothed out. Everybody seems to know what it is they're supposed to do, and it's made our whole place more effective.
Right. You put the people in the proper jobs that they can handle best, and everything runs more smoothly.
It does. And they're happy because they're effective.
Right.
And if they're happy, you get a greater productivity out of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win-win deal.
Right. No, that's very important. Now, do people come to you for career advice? Maybe they're not happy doing what they're doing, and based on the numbers, you might say, well, have you thought about perhaps doing this or going back to school to learn how to do that so you can do that
as
they go forward?
Yes, I had just recently a client that was wanting to change jobs. And I said, well, you can do that this year because, you know, every year is a different theme.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but it won't last. So, you know, wait. I said, I'd wait if you can. But she took the job. It was just like before December. She says, well, I'm just training right now, Marcia. I said, okay, go ahead and train. And she called me right after the first of the year, and the job didn't pan out. And I said, well, it was a learning experience.
Right.
You know, so that was it. And then one time I did, it was a high school, you know, those all-night parties that they have.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. So I volunteered to be the numerology booth. And I didn't think anybody would bother because they had a lot of stuff to do. But these kids were looking ahead. They were getting ready to graduate. And they're thinking, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? I've got all these choices. Especially today, they have so many more choices.
Right.
So I spoke all night because I never had one break. One kid after another came, and I'm working out their numbers and you know, I'm singing, well, you can do this, this, and this. I mean, there's not just one choice for one number. There's lots of choices.
Right. And that helped these kids?
I think so, because, you know, a lot of them have gotten back to me on Facebook, so they remember me.
Right. Well, that's a good thing, right? And they're not angry, right?
They're not angry.
Okay. Well, that's always a plus. So what about relationships, just personal relationships? The same thing goes there. You just see who a person is attracted to. Like you say, number eight and number three don't really coexist well. Yeah, right. So, I mean, do you look at that and do you just flat out tell people, don't bother with a two because you're not going to be happy? Or if you do, you have to take into consideration special things.
Yes, that's correct. That's exactly what I do. I look at the numbers and I decide whether anybody can get along with anybody, especially in a work environment. But do you want to live with them? That's a different question, you know. So at work, no, I might have threes. I know where to put them to be effective, and they're great, and we all work together. But living with them would be a little more of a challenge. So there's certain numbers that have a natural compatibility, like 3, 6, and 9 are naturally compatible. 1, 5, and 7 are naturally compatible. 2, 4, 6, and 8 have a compatibility. Does that mean you can't get along with other numbers? Not at all. It just means you have to understand them. I had a couple that I did a relationship analysis for, and his main number was 7 and she was a 4, and I said, and how are you getting along? And there were some problems, because the 7 is a number that needs to have alone time. They need some solitude to regroup. And the 4 doesn't understand that. And the 4 needs physical contact and hugs and love and all of that to feel appreciated. They need to feel appreciated. So the 7's going off by itself, and what happens to the 4? The 4's feeling rejected. So my comments to them were, I said, okay, you just need to understand what the needs are of these two energies. Your husband needs to have time to decompress from work. So when he gets home and he goes into his little room, let him be, and don't worry about it. It's not rejection of you. It's something this energy needs. And then I look at the man and I said, now listen, you had your time by yourself. When you come out, you give her attention, you appreciate her, and you give her a hug and, you know, all of this stuff, because she needs that. Mm-hmm. And it's not being clingy. It's something that she needs to know you love her.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. So things worked out, did they? Or
yeah, they had a baby and they're on their second one. And, well, you know, hey.
Things are going well. Now,
things are going well.
Have you ever told somebody that maybe they've come to you and complaining about the relationship, and you said, well, have you thought about breaking up or getting a divorce or anything, or do you not go there?
No, I go there. Well, sort of, because people make, you know, everybody has free will. You mm-hmm. make your choices, and right. you're attracted to people based on any number of things. So my attitude is, how do you make it work? And if you can't make it work, well, then okay, then end it. And consider it a learning experience. But I had one couple that they were a couple, and I thought, oh, this is just not good, you know, and what am I going to say to them? Because it's not up to me to say, you guys are not really, you don't have a Chinaman's chance of getting along too well.
Yeah, that's not too optimistic.
No. But, you know, I thought, well, you know what? I'm not God, and maybe they'll get along. But I thought, I don't think so. So I went to this particular group occasion. It was a group party. And I thought, you know what? I cannot treat them as a couple because they're just not a couple. They're two individuals that seem to be sitting side by side. And that's how I gave their overview of their numbers. And the odd thing was, I never said anything to them about breaking up or whatever. I just gave them what I saw as their numbers. They broke up within a week.
Mm-hmm. They just kind of knew.
They right? kind of knew.
Well, sometimes, though, one person wants to break up, the other doesn't. What happens there? I mean, do you just have to persevere and say, look, it's nothing personal, but I just don't really feel I can be with you. I don't think this is going to work out. And the other person insists that it will. What do you do in a case like that?
Again, people have free will. So I point out to them where it is that they are in their cycle, that this person is at an end of a cycle or a beginning, and they're going through this, and it's may not be about you, it's about them, and you have to let them have the freedom of that. And understand, and either it'll work out or it won't. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how it is. We all go through cycles in our life, and that's part of numerology. When I'm doing a profile, I'm looking at what year you're in. We have a personal year that brings certain things. So there's certain years that you could get divorced this year. You either are going to get it together and figure it out, or you're going to separate.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the nature of the year.
Right. Do you try to be honest with people and say those type of things?
Yeah. Because, well, I kind of had one fella came to me and he said, I really like this relationship. And I said, well, what year are you in? Well, I don't know. And then when I figured out what her year is in, I says, you've got to give her some space. And either it'll work out or it won't. I don't know, but I can tell you this is what she's going through, and it's, you know, and as it turned out, she didn't come back,
mm-hmm.
you know, or in another case that did work out, but,
right.
you know, but it's easy to, we all go through this, and what ends up happening depends on a lot of factors.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you said when you were a teenager you would find out the numbers for boys and stuff to see if it was compatible, if it worked out. And you applied that, and did that work out for you?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Yes, it did. I, you know, there were some guys I thought, well, okay, I'm going to have fun with him, but he's not a long-term prospect. Or, you know, or other ones. And when I'm doing couples, I can see where they're very attracted to each other and what it is that's attracting them.
Mm-hmm.
But each of us are in a certain evolution, personal evolution in terms of numerology. So if you're aware of where the other person is, then you have an understanding of them that helps you not take things personally, and maybe even help them to have a better perspective on what's going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you do try to assist people too. I mean, you just don't always just say, well, forget it, it's not going to work out. You do suggest that, again, it's possible, but you just have to take things into consideration of what the other person
right.
needs.
Exactly. Or if they're in a negative expression, as I mentioned earlier. So say a person is a one. Well, ones can be real selfish because they think about number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why they're ones. And they've got great ideas, but
right.
are you prepared for that? And do they have other numbers? And can you help them raise that energy to a positive expression instead of a negative expression?
Mm-hmm.
Or a two. A two is so intuitive, but they can become very fearful. Well, can you help them face those fears to alleviate that to where they're not agoraphobic or something of mm-hmm. that nature? So, or a four, oh my gosh, they can be so stubborn. Well, you know, how if you understand that and you can help them get out of that rut, they're in a rut, they're not happy
mm-hmm.
being in a rut, then it's a win-win thing, you know.
Right.
So
when you were looking at your husband, did you take that into consideration? Not to get too personal again, but I would imagine you probably did look at that and that had some influence.
Well, I did, because we had numbers alike. And if you share a number with a person, you have, you connect on a vibrational level. So because we had numbers alike, I knew we would connect on various levels, because I had more than one number alike. And so we did have an instant understanding of each other, and there's certain things that we enjoy doing together. Because we share a five, so we both have fives, so we love traveling together. It's one of the things that we have in common.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a six, and I have a six, which again is this artistic expression. And my mother, who was a numerologist, said, well, he's got this artistic expression. And I said, well, I don't see it. You know, I don't know where it's hiding, but it's hiding in his group. And she says, oh, it's there, Marcia, it's there. And so about 5 years ago, he decided that he wanted to learn to play a musical instrument. Had never played anything in his life. But he's in a cycle of his life that is very benevolent in terms of letting you express yourself creatively. And so he took up the banjo, of all things.
Okay.
So he finally, after all these years, is using that energy of his numbers.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Marcia Kozlowski. She is an experienced practicing numerologist. Now, something that I want to know about, don't these numbers run in cycles? I mean, I guess, do you believe in reincarnation?
I do.
Okay. Now, with that premise, everybody goes through a cycle. I mean, everybody starts at one. Now, when they reincarnate, do you believe they come back as a two, or do the numbers jump around? Because I know number nine is the number of completion, and that's, you know, you're done with that cycle. Once you do that, do you come back as a one the next time? How does that work, in your opinion?
I don't know, and I really don't think I can answer that question, because even though I believe in reincarnation, I'm not sure. I think we have contracts, if you want to call that, sacred contracts that we come with certain lessons that we want to learn in
mm-hmm.
this lifetime. And the numbers, when you're looking at a person's numbers, there's certain people that you've chosen to learn more about something
right.
here. And the people that you encounter and the family that you chose to be born into are here to help you learn whatever those lessons are. But whether it's so cut and dry, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't know. I know in our lifetime, we live through cycles of 9 years, and then we start a new one. And we live through certain cycles called pinnacles and challenges. And I can tell you what it is in every part of your life, according to numerology. But, you know, the afterlife and reincarnation, I'm not an expert on, and I wouldn't pretend to give an opinion.
Right.
Because it would be strictly a shot in the dark.
Right.
Literally.
Right. Well, I mean, when it comes right down to it, who really knows?
But, exactly.
So it could be conceivable then that, you know, if you're a one on a certain level in a certain lifetime, you could become back as a seven. You don't know.
It might be. Because if in your previous lifetime you lived in a negative expression and you abused what you were supposed to do, or you didn't do what you were supposed to do, you might want to repeat that because you didn't do it right the first time around. And so there's certain, you know, I don't know, but I do feel that people that we meet and we throughout our life we meet for a particular reason. We're here to teach each other something. And it might not be somebody that you grew up with. It might be somebody you met at a radio station.
Right. Right now, right here. Who knows? Now, something you mentioned about your husband, he felt inspired to learn a musical instrument. What about people that reach a certain point in life and all of a sudden it's like they just have an urge, they have to do something? You mentioned travel. They feel like they have to travel, or they have to feel the need for excitement to do more exciting things in their life. Do they ever come to you and say, I don't know what's going on here, but I really feel this urge to, you know, be creative or start my own business or whatever? And do you advise people and saying, well, it's in your chart and now it's just coming to the forefront?
Yes, it can happen that way. I mean, our life doesn't end at 30 like they used to feel, or, you know.
Yeah, it depends on a person, though.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, that's true. And, I mean, we don't know what it is, but I think every part of our lives, there is something for us. And I think people do intuitively feel that. And most of the time when they ask me for advice, they've already figured it out. I don't tell them something they don't already know inside themselves.
Right. You're just kind of reinforcing what they already know.
Yes, and it's like, really? You know, I've been feeling that, but really, you can see that? I said, yeah, I can, or, you know, or maybe I don't see it, but most of the time when they're telling me something, like I did a class for Plymouth Schools last week, and this lady had threes and fours. Totally different energies. And I said, so you're a different person at work than you are at home. And this light shone. She said, I've been telling everybody that. I'm totally different at home than I am at work. I said, yeah, work, you work, work, work. And at home, you play, play, play.
Right.
And she said, that's absolutely true.
Right. Well, I think that's true of people that go from job to job to job, different jobs. One job, you know, people see them and they think, wow, they're very serious and, you know, business orientated and what have you. And then they go to another job and, oh, they're, you know, sweetness and light and they want to, you know, play around or whatever. So I think that happens as well. And people do probably realize that as they go along in life, that there is more to them than they may think.
There is. They're complex, and there's different sides of us that show up in different situations. As I said before, the name you're called, you know, if you're called Mike at work and Michael somewhere else, then it's a different situation. If you are using, if your personality is important to your job, then that's going to lead you to a different avenue. If you are, your soul number, your birth date number is the same as your complete name, then you probably are going to wind up, like a four is probably going to wind up in construction or building or the military. A lot of four men that have fours predominantly wind up in the military because it's very structured. Mm-hmm. They like that structure, or they like law enforcement. You know what the rules are, you know what the... And so, yeah, it ends up being, you know, where you end up. You can end up in a lot of different things depending on the combination of your numbers and what is influencing you at any given time. My one daughter has an eight, and everybody thinks she's organized because she has an eight attitude. Mm-hmm. But she's really a one. So she's working all the time to be organized, but she doesn't really ever get there.
Uh-huh. But she gives it a good try.
She gives it a good try. Yeah. She gives it a good try. Yeah. And so, you know, so that's what you look at is the whole gamut of it. Another client I have that has a number of ones, and so I told him about himself, and he said, "Wow, I sound really pretty good. You haven't told me anything bad." I said, "Well, you want to hear what's bad?"
Yeah.
I can tell you that, you know. And I said, because too much of anything can be bad.
Right.
You know, too much pioneering and you forget everybody else who's schlepping the wagon and doing all of the work while you're busy, you know, climbing the mountain here.
Right, right. So now, has anybody ever said to you, you've said, well, this number vibration, you know, represents this, this, and this, and they've said, that's not me at all. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you say in that case?
Those numbers are usually fives that are surrounded by fours or other very strong numbers. A five is a very chameleon-like number. And if your birth date number is a five, and you have very strong parents who are fours or sevens or eights, you will change. You'll be a chameleon because you don't like to fight, and it's better to just go along with whatever it is. And so that's the one number who will tell me, I'm not like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not like that. I said, no, because I said, if I were to figure out what your parents were, your predominant family number, that's what you're going to think you are, because that was what was ingrained in you, and you just become the chameleon, and it's better to go along with the family culture. Or a five, a seven is another one. And sevens are very skeptical. And, you know, prove it to me. I mean, I'm not sure, you know. And usually, but I understand sevens so well. By the time I'm done with them, I made them believers. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so that's the numbers that'll tell me no.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, it does more or less give you an indication, too, of what you can expect when you're working with a person, whatever numbers they may have. Now, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
They could email me. My email address is numbers, N-U-M-B-E-R-S, for the numerical for living at hotmail.com. If they want to attend a class, I have a class actually the 18th, which is the day this program's aired at through Plymouth Canton Schools, Canton High School. They can call Canton Schools and find out about that. Or my cell phone number. I'd rather have them email me.
Okay, well, that's good enough. I mean, is that all you want to say? I mean, is there any other avenues they can reach you at?
Or well, they can come to your festival because we will have a booth there.
Thank you for mentioning that. Yes, we are going to have our festival coming up on the 22nd of March. I'll break that down in a few minutes here. But yes, you are going to be part of it. I want to thank you for agreeing to be at the festival. And by all means, come by and see Marcia. And if you want to know about your vibrations, I'm sure she'll be happy to let you know what's going on in your life, and perhaps improve your life. Maybe you can give you some direction in which way to go for a job or a relationship or whatever the case may be. But I do want to thank you for being here, Marcia. It was very interesting. I always like to talk about numerology, so thank you very much for being here.
It's my pleasure.
Well, I would just like to thank Marcia Kozlowski for being my special guest this month. Very interesting. I've always been interested in numerology. That's one of the big things that attracted me to the metaphysical world. And again, I could tell you my story, but when I was in the Army, I picked up a book about numerology, and it was just a basic numerology book, but that really sparked something in me, and I ended up studying that for a few years anyway. I've kind of lost track of it over the years, but again, I've always thought that was very interesting, numerology in general. So thanks to Marcia for being here. I also want to thank Brandon McKay for producing this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. And as we just mentioned in the show, we have a very special event coming up here at Henry Ford Community College, and that is the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair. This will be held on Saturday, March 22nd from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the Student and Culinary Arts Center at Henry Ford Community College, and we'll have a very impressive array of vendors, readers, and body workers for you to choose from. Live music and a fascinating roster of speakers will be included in the admission price of only $5. And as an added bonus, all high school and college students with current identification will be admitted free. Please join us for this fantastic WHFR fundraising festival. That's the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair, Saturday, March 22nd, right here at Henry Ford Community College. And Marcia will be a part of that, so by all means, come by, see her, and just come out and enjoy the event. We would love to see you. Hope you are able to make it out. With all that being said, I just want to thank once again Marcia and Brandon, and say to everybody out there, have a great day.
This is Bob Allison, and you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves.
WHFR Dearborn. WHFR, the station making waves, proudly presents The Best of Broadway, a program featuring the best of American musical theater. Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Joe, your host. We've taken care of your tickets. Now let me escort you through 2 hours of enjoyment of the best of Broadway.